Welcome to For the Hawkra, a Seattle Seahawks podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Schultz, and I am joined by one of my good buddies, Mr. Clinton Bonner, as we are going to be talking Seahawks Mount Rushmore, Clinton. Yes, we saw NFL Throwback out on YouTube. They've got a pretty nice channel, and they did a video on every team's Mount Rushmore. So I don't know where they got their input from, if they pulled Seahawks fans, if they're just kind of going based off of some of the top names within the franchise. But they came out with their list for our Seahawks, and with it being June and being list season, it seemed like a natural conversation, Clinton, to come on and talk about Seahawks Mount Rushmore.
The top of the mountain, the apex of list season. We are right. This is the apogee of it right here, Brandon. And so if it is the most northern point of list season, which I believe it is, then heck, Mount Rushmore. Is there anything more listy, especially in sports, right? Or even movies or culture? What's your Mount Rushmore of this? And all these different things. So a perfect late June category for us to dive into, because we still got some weeks before they're back in pads.
Yes. We could even go into our Mount Rushmore of summertime activities.
Oh, you know, yes.
Vacations have to be on there, concerts. There's a good list of top things to do in the summertime. But we're talking Seahawks right here on For the Hawkra. And if you haven't yet subscribed, you can go to believe.com, BLEAV.com. And you can subscribe to this show. If you've got friends that are sports fans of other teams, I'm sorry that you don't have better friends, but they can go there and subscribe to those shows too. Or you can subscribe out on YouTube, youtube.com/Seahawkers podcast for our For the Hawkra shows, for our Seahawkers podcast shows. They're all right there on YouTube.
Yes, it's a lovely, lovely bundle. So speaking of the bundle, four heads on that mountain. So I forget the name of it, NFL something or other.
NFL Throwback.
NFL Throwback, which I like. I love our throwbacks, man. I was watching the Browns game last year. The Browns game, right? That's when JSN had the winning touchdown at the goal line with the throwbacks on. They look so good. They look so good. I'm excited for at least one game this year with those. But NFL Throwback, the mountains. So Brandon, who are the four, or at least one of them, who did they put on Mount Rushmore from their perspective?
I will kick it off with the four that they put on there. And I don't know if they were in any particular order, but the four they selected were Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, Steve Largent, and Walter Jones. And unfortunately, when you create a Mount Rushmore, it does leave off a large number of people, fan favorites, you know, personal favorites that you may not want on there. I know maybe there's some controversy around any one of these names, maybe one in particular, just because the pain is still there. I'm talking about Russell Wilson as quarterback. And I felt like the one, just judging from people's comments on social media, from comments on the YouTube video itself, I sense that Seahawks fans had the most issue with Russell Wilson being on that list.
It's interesting for sure. People are still salty about the way he exited. That's just how it's going to be until it's not. Time heals all wounds, they say. So at some point when his number is retired, and in my opinion, the dude's still going to, he's still getting in the Hall of Fame. People are like, he's tarnished. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. It's like, okay, but go look at the 9-10 years he had to start his career, and you put him up against, I mean, all timers when it comes to touchdowns and touchdown ratio and just his deep ball throwing and just how good of a quarterback he was, how great of a quarterback he was for basically a decade, man, and a winning quarterback too, a very, very winning quarterback. Now, with all that, I'm not giving away my four just yet. I understand how people could question it, but I think it's more bitterness on the Russell Wilson side than it is maybe logic and actually looking back at the importance in his part in Seahawks history.
As we get further away from it, I think his spot solidifies a little bit more. But I don't know if necessarily I would put him in the number one spot, because I tend to think of how I would rank certain guys and where they are on Mount Rushmore? Are they first position, second position? Because I want to rank the four guys. And
right.
To me, it hit me a few weeks ago when I think this conversation came up on Twitter. And I think it was it Pete Prisco? Somebody else at CBS. One of those, because with it being list season, this wasn't just the only Mount Rushmore that I think I've seen. A few weeks back, it was the three that were the clear cut ones were the Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. And that was Steve Largent, Cortez Kennedy, and Walter Jones.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to pick a fourth to go with that. And I think someone picked Russell Wilson again as the fourth person on there. So Cortez Kennedy finding himself on the bubble of some of these Mount Rushmore lists. And at the time I said I would put Bobby Wagner in over Russell Wilson. And I think I have to put in Bobby Wagner as my first position just based off of his accolades of all time. He was a 6-time all pro. He's not done yet. He's still in the NFL. I mean, technically he's on the Commanders, so they're still an NFL team.
So USFL, I think. I'm pretty sure. Maybe USFL.
But he won a Super Bowl with the team. He's on the all decade team. He is a 9-time pro bowler. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And with those types of things, like Walter Jones wasn't even a 6-time all pro. He was a 4-time all pro.
So this is where it gets difficult for me. So I like to look at, so starting with the actual Mount Rushmore, right? And remembering that we got Washington, we got Jefferson, we got Teddy Roosevelt, and we got Lincoln, right? I think it's actually in that order going left to right, if you're going left to right. And definitely some great presidents and fathers, forefathers of the nation and all that for sure. And then there's Teddy Roosevelt, who was really important and probably on there because he was so instrumental in like conservationism and like saying, hey, we got to understand that we need to create space for nature to just be nature and like just carve things out. Now, I don't know the political motivations behind all that. Doesn't really matter. He's the one who did it and got it done. And was like, nope, we're going to have these gigantic national parks. Right. So I think he gets the honor. Plus, I think he's reflected on as a at least a good president. I think he gets the honor of being on there almost as a little bit of a specialist. So I'm taking a slightly different tact. For me, when I look at Wagner, I think you know my position on Wagner, that I respect the crap out of him. I think he's an all-timer. He will be a first ballot gold jacket, no doubt about it. Probably the best middle linebacker of his time, his era.
Yeah.
Right. So we're saying early, whatever, 2011, 12, that era, right? So basically the 10s through the 20s there. For me, he's not on my top four. He does not make my Mount Rush. He's not on my Mount Rushmore. And it's some of it's just the love and the, I feel like the importance and maybe the big memories too, which maybe is a hint at some of the ones that are there. So I love Wagner, but he is not on my Mount Rushmore. He wouldn't make it, man. It's like, which is hard, which means, you know, we need to add people to this potentially, but the rules are the rules. So yeah, man. So if he's number one for you, he's probably five. He may even be sixth for me. I'm not even sure he's on deck for me.
Yeah. I have a hard time not putting him number one, just based on, like you said, the criteria of, because I'm trying to compare when I'm putting up Seahawks Mount Rushmore, I want our best guys over the time period that they were in the NFL. And with that criteria, it's like, yeah, he was the best linebacker for a long time. And there's no other Seahawks player that was that good for that long at their position that were better than other players during that time. So
yeah, it's I agree with you there. So why don't we look at one that I'm sure I would imagine we absolutely both have on there, right? So I'll say his name. I'd imagine we both have Walter Jones on Mount Rushmore.
And he would be in position number two for, because using that same criteria, four-time All-Pro. Yeah, and you know, it was arguable that he could probably be up there more than that, because what was it, Orlando Pace, that he was kind of jockeying with?
I think so.
At that spot over the decade, but another all-decade dude, part of a Super Bowl, you know, multiple playoff games that took him to a Super Bowl. So I weigh that heavily into it too, as far as the importance that they meant to the franchise, getting us to a Super Bowl. And Walter Jones easily on that list.
For me, he's probably position one, if that matters. And I think it's because when you have the conversation of best left tackles of all time, he's very, very, he's in that conversation. And that's NFL wide. And he's very much in that conversation. And the damage they did and the joy that left side of that line brought to Seahawks fans, and then watching Sean Alexander just go nuts for like basically 4 years, right? Like 03 through 06, et cetera. Absolute monster and a brilliant left tackle. Not that middle linebacker is not important. It is very important. Left tackle has also gotten more shine. So that kind of bias, it's not a recency bias for the player. It might be a bit of recency bias that left tackle has become more and more important in the last, let's say, 5 to 7 years, while middle linebacker has taken a bit of a backseat, right? It's like, oh, well, yeah, maybe you get that guy in the second or third round, which, by the way, Bobby taken in the second round from Utah State, right? So, all right, we got Walter Jones, though. He's solidly on there. We got a discrepancy at your one with Bobby. There's probably, I would imagine, it's got to be at least one more slam dunk guy we both have. Oh, yeah. Brandon, who's that?
Yeah, Steve Largent, who I could put, if we're now, whether they go, are we putting Abe Lincoln, and is he the three spot on the Mount Rushmore, or is he?
No, he's far right, because I think
he is far right, but is it Eddie, in orders of importance?
Oh, right.
You go one, two, you know.
I never looked at this the way you're looking at it. I mean, I know they put Washington to the left and you're looking at it left to right. So that way I was like, okay, I get it. He's the first president. So put him in, you know, put him in the clarinet first seat there. Right. Yeah. But I mean, Mount Rushmore was Mount Rushmore. It's like, you're on it. Right. But since you're playing that game a bit further out,
We actually don't need to go there. You brought up the commentary about Roosevelt being your bubble Mount Rushmore guy, and then all of a sudden
I said specialist. Yes. He's a specialist guy, that he did some really, really specific things that if you're doing a monument that's carved into a rock, and the dude was like known for, you know, his the way he looked at land and the treatment of
it. We're going to get more comments on your take on Teddy Roosevelt, I think, than any of the players
that we drive the algorithms, right? But Largent clearly on there. And the thing with Largent too is when he left the league, he led basically everything. You know, he was the touchdown, just all the major touchdown,
yards, receptions. Yeah. He was the dude.
Yeah, just giant stats. And of course, I think there's just that likability of a guy that came in from the Oilers who was traded very, very early, you know, almost.
Never played a regular season game for the Oilers. Right? So yeah, you can count him as a guy who played his entire career with the Seahawks.
Oh, for sure. 100%. But that story of a guy that's not exactly, you know, like nowadays, like a Jamar Chase or like a Malik Nabers are coming out of a giant school, right? That's like, okay, I'm nearly can't miss. That was not what Steve Largent, that wasn't his projection. Let's put it that way. And then he ended up just being, I mean, look, we're basically the same age. We're a year apart, essentially. Growing up, it's like, what? And I grew up in Long Island in New York, and I still was like, I want to be like Steve Largent. I mean, that's something that's across the country. In an era where Seattle was not getting any sort of shine. I don't think people in New York understood that Seattle was part of America, to be quite honest, growing up in the 80s.
Plus, you have the hit on Mike Harden that I feel goes down in NFL lore as one of the greatest Seahawks hits, especially in a Denver Broncos player.
Yes.
Cam Best. Chancellor probably has number two in that category, but he's easily on there for me. So yeah, then it gets to number four, and then where you and I would probably have a little bit of discrepancy.
I'm on three still. Because read Bobby.
Yeah.
You read Bobby, and I said Bobby's not on there for me.
Okay.
So would you like me to give my three?
Let's hear your three.
Okay. But these are in no particular order. So I'm gonna save one for last.
Okay.
But that does not mean I'm saving the best for last year. For me, Richard Sherman, it's not the Legion of Bobby. It was not the Legion of Bobby, it's the Legion of Boom. And I know there's Earl, I know there's Cam. Believe me, I know there's Cam. With all that, the dude who was the face of the entire thing, who was the personality, who made the biggest play, the single biggest play in our history, it's Richard Sherman. And he happened to be a five-time All-Pro. Like, this guy's, it's not like, well, he made one great play. You know, Malcolm Smith is getting the MVP, and we like Malcolm Smith. But for me, between the personality, the face of the franchise, the face of the Legion of Boom, the face of that era. And, you know, they take that amazing Sports Illustrated cover photo back in the day where it's like, was it Maxwell, Browner, and then three we just mentioned. And Sherman's the dude in the middle. Sherman, he is the center stage Voltron, right? So he's the main dude. Man, Richard Sherman is in his beautiful dreads with all that extra carving into that mountain, man. He is on Mount Rushmore for me. I tussled with this a bit. Somebody from the LLB has to be on there.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, it's got to be Richard.
So you would put him, because I made a similar argument with, because Bobby for me, yeah, he's not part of the secondary, but he was a major part of that defense. And again, he's, we need another defensive player on there. It's tough because he's again a member of the all decade team. So consistently over a period of time. And I think this is where it kind of gets into that argument of which guys do you leave on or off based on what they mean to the franchise, like how much time they were with the franchise.
Yeah.
And Sherman kind of also falls into that same area as Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner does too, because going to the Rams, going to the Commanders, playing for two teams outside of the Seahawks. That's the nice thing about Walter Jones, right? Entire career with the Seahawks. Steve Largent, entire career with the Seahawks.
I hear you. I think you misspoke. I'm pretty sure that that Bobby never went to the Rams ever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. My mistake.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure that was a different guy.
That was
guy.
Magner
okay.
That went
yes.
and played for the Rams.
Right. Okay. 45. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But totally. Okay. Totally different. Just making sure we got to be very clear about that guy would never play for such a lowly franchise and the Ram fan.
Okay. I apologize. I apologize to Bobby. I apologize to the listeners. It was a mistake, an oversight on my part. Now you must add him to your Mount Rushmore list, Glenn.
He's getting closer. I'd say that much. He's not sixth. He's definitely fifth, right? So
I think there is something to be said. Like if somebody just wanted to make a Rushmore with dudes who were loyal to the franchise, never went anywhere else, and you wanted to put Largent, Walter Jones, Cortez Kennedy,
right,
and then you're going to have a hard time picking a fourth guy other than, I guess you could put Cam up there. Cam Chancellor.
At this point, it could be if we're going, longevity / on the team, that's it. It could be Cam. It could be Lockett.
Joe Nash would be the other guy.
Carl Lester Crumpler, of course. East Carolina Pirates all day, of course.
Did Carl Lester Crumpler play his entire career with the Seahawks?
No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. I think he was like 3 years with the Seahawks. And I think he bolted. I think he was on the Vikings maybe for a bit. But he was actually, I enjoyed the Carl Lester Crumpler era, which by the way, was like, I think 01, 02, if my memory serves me. So
yeah.
Something
and
like
shoot,
that.
I mean, if you're just going off dudes who spent their career, Tyler Lockett's getting to that point
too. Lockett, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that, but the end, that's, I don't think that's the criteria for a Mount Rushmore.
I wouldn't knock anybody if that was their criteria though.
Hey, you know, I'm not going to yuck their yum on this either. They can decide what they want for their Mount Rushmore. So it's kind of a beautiful thing. And it's,
and maybe it's even Kenny Easley, as we're talking safeties, because yes, he got traded to the Cardinals, but he didn't really play for the Cardinals. So you can kind of say that his whole career was at the Seahawks.
Does anybody really play for the Cardinals? That's another poverty franchise, right? So, yeah, and it's funny. We get through 20 minutes of this and we haven't mentioned the Hall of Fame safety yet with Easley. Right. And I think that's just a bit of the fact that it took a long time for him to get in. And he is an older player, right? So it, even for you and I at our age, he was still even met, you know, a little bit like when we were still pretty darn young kids. And
I caught the tail end
of
his career. And I do remember how great he was.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It wasn't the heyday. And I mean, but his heyday was incredible. Cause again, all of Sherman's accolades, Kenny Easley has those and more, apart from, you know, the tip to lead the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. But he was also a 5-time Pro Bowler, a 3-time All-Pro. He was a member of the All-Decade team. And on top of that, he was the Defensive Player of the Year in 84. So that's something that Richard Sherman didn't do during his time. And Easley has that. Yes, he has a relatively short career, but still, 7 seasons, all with the Seahawks. And if somebody wanted to put him on their Mount Rushmore, with him being... having his entire career and having those accolades, I could see it.
Yeah, it would be a solid argument for sure. And a solid person and a great player. Again, these are Hall of Famers we're talking about here, right? So every single person I think we've mentioned thus far, yeah, I'm looking at the list. Like every single person, they either will be or are in the Hall of Fame already. So these are all-timers. Now, for me, in the fourth spot, I don't have Cortez Kennedy. And Cortez Kennedy probably absolutely could be there. And I love, that's actually when I started to really love the Seahawks, which was really weird that in like 1992, they're going 2-14. I'm living 3,000 miles away and I'm infatuated with this team, but I was. And it's just that he gets dinged in a unfair way. And it's because the teams he was on never really did anything. They didn't, right. They just didn't make any, sometimes they had horrid offenses that 2-14 years, bottom of the barrel offense wise, disgusting. And the defense is really, really good. And he was in such a cool position, just the big dude, the big man, defensive tackle from University of Miami, of course, great career and a Hall of Famer. Again, another Hall of Famer. But for me, it has to have that special sauce. He has to be extremely above and beyond meaningful to the franchise to get on Mount Rushmore. Otherwise, you're not making Mount Rushmore. It's probably one of the reasons I wouldn't put Easley on there.
Yeah.
It didn't do it when we were at our best as a team and you were part of that. And in fact, it's probably the reason I would say Sherman over Bobby for me, because Bobby was still really good and younger, but the LOB was the thing. They were the centerpiece of that entire team. And that's why I would sway there. But we haven't set our fourth yet. We talked about some players like Russ and others, but so Brandon, who is your fourth, whether it's fourth order, but just on the podium, who do you have up there, man?
Yeah. So when it comes down to it, I use some of that same criteria that you mentioned with Cortez, with Easley. And while the thing about Mount Rushmores for teams, they can change. It's not etched into the side of a mountain. So you can kind of do the dry erase board off some of these guys when you do have a team. Because that's the thing about this is 10 years down the road, after Coach Mike McDonald has taken this team to 3 Super Bowls, like some of these guys are going to get erased off of this Mount Rushmore. Shoot, there might be a time where Steve Largent isn't on the Seahawks Mount Rushmore. Because, you know, DK Metcalf goes on to 3 All-Pro seasons and is the greatest Seahawks receiver of all time and displaces him, then, you know, sorry, Steve, your spot bumps down. But, yeah, so for now, I put Russell Wilson in that fourth spot because of what he meant to the team, what he meant to the franchise. And I do have to push off like how he left, but there's still not a guy. Like you kind of have to have your all-time quarterback up there. And while for a great part of my childhood, it was Dave Craig. Again, he was on my Mount Rushmore before Russell Wilson came along, but he got 100%. Wiped away, you know, probably by Matt Hasselbeck because he was my quarterback for that big period of time and took the team to a Super Bowl, something Dave Craig couldn't do. And then here comes Russell Wilson, takes the team there. Yeah, maybe he wasn't like the reason that they won that chip, but he was a big part of it. And I got to recognize my quarterback, Russell Wilson, by putting him up there.
I think it's a very worthy spot. And I think it's a mature thing to look at it and say, hey, the way he left is what it is. And more of a stoic attitude about that. And being able to look back at the decade that he did provide us and be like, that was some incredible football. And the most exciting this team has ever been. And yes, while the LOB was, I said what I said about the LOB earlier, there were pockets there, 2012, when the team really started to show what they could be, where we were putting 50 burgers up every week. It was insane, insane, just 50 burger, 50 burger, 50 burger. And then Russ went on these multi-year runs where he was, you know, lock them in to be 30-something touchdowns and low interceptions. And the penchant for the beautiful deep shot, right? The sexy deep ball from Russ, which again, for me, if we're talking Mount Rushmore, all those things matter. They all add up to like, yeah, man, I could get behind Russ being on Seahawks Mount Rushmore, but we're missing a player, man. Brandon, we left out the most, we haven't said his name yet.
I think I know where you're going because I think
you know too.
You're talking to Marshawn Lynch.
I am talking beast mode, man. He is my Teddy Roosevelt, right? So we need, how could there be a Seahawks Mount Rushmore without beast mode? It doesn't feel right. And I love what Russ did in 2012 and 2013 and then 2014. We're not going to talk about the last play of the game, but Russ was super key to that. But beast mode and the way we ran the ball, beast mode was the start of this entire era. But that, you know, when Hasselbeck was still the quarterback versus New Orleans, beating down the then champion, you know, returning champion New Orleans Saints, where we had no shot. So we make the trade, we get beast mode. And then that run, the personality, the magic, the memories of Marshawn Lynch, Brandon, I can't get up on that mountain and carve something and leave 24 off of there. It can't happen for man. Beast mode is on. He is on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay. So if we're going based off of heart, I suppose, then that's probably a good way to look at it because then he would be on mine too. So if criteria is, I have a hard time when it comes to, you know, so many of these other guys we talked about in terms of what they, you know, kind of where they were at NFL wise and how they ranked out in terms of awards. Like there's so many great Marshawn Lynch moments, but like, he was one time All Pro, 5-time Pro Bowler. He was a member of the All Decade team.
Yeah.
And I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
He'll make the Hall of Fame. He's going
to, I think so too.
Earl Campbell, go look stats wise, like the dude's almost identical. And also the way they ran actually pretty darn identical. Plus he's also loved, you know, it's like, okay, if you're a football player, you're a running back, specifically a running back. That's the type of running back people want. That's what people want, right? It's like, okay, that's the dude. And the moments, like you said, so it is part heart. But it's also just importance to the team when they were at the apogee or the apex or both, when we were our best, our absolute best NFC West championship game. And you got beast mode, just walking into the end zone, just dropping the ball. Like just, he was, as Adam would say, the straw that stirred the drink. Yeah. He was the stir that straw the drink for sure. But it's definitely part heart. It's absolutely part emotion, but this is sports. Yeah, this is sports, right? So Russ is just off that podium for me, that the four piece podium. But man, it's beast mode. I think this speaking about, like, you know, stirring the pot or the straw that stirs the drink, I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of comments on how could you leave this person off? What about this person? So I'm excited to see what other people think about what our fours are and how they're gonna lambaste us for our opinions.
Hey, that's why we do this. Everybody has their own criteria that goes into it too. And I don't have a problem with it. Because if I'm picking my four favorite Seahawks of all time, then Marshawn Lynch is absolutely on that list.
Nice. So we agree.
We agree. And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.